the Super Bowl ring population has doubled for the B. Mitch and Finley program here at Media Row in New Orleans, Louisiana. We're getting ready for Eagles Chiefs, but right now there's a pair of Super Bowl rings. Brian has his, and Brad Edwards joins us. Of course, Brad was a safety on that great 91 Skins team.
Hit everything, move.
Dude, you had the game of your life in that Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Does that feel like you had the game of your life in that Super Bowl?
Yeah, it did, and I'm still looking for the – where were you? I needed two more votes for that time. Not that it ever bothered me, or not that I'm bitter now.
For
but
the MVP?
Know, yes.
Do you ever bring that up with Rip?
Oh, he brings it up.
Quarterbacks always
knows.
Win. That
he
day,
knows that 285 yards did not. No, but
no.
It's.
I think you could make a real case. I think I've told you this story before, but after that Super Bowl, I went around telling people I was your nephew, just to try to like
you
get
look,
girls. To
you
talk
know,
to
we
me.
Have the same barber. not quite. You saved yours a little better than I did.
There weren't a lot of dudes on that team I could say I was related
Understood.
To. And like if I said I was B. Mitch's nephew, I'm not sure they would believe.
Yeah,
it.
That was in your family. How did you
yeah,
work that out?
Right.
Yeah, it was my mom's side.
EF,
I don't know.
EF, you know, in-laws.
Dude, how exciting was this year for you to watch? You live in the
yeah.
D.C. area.
Yeah.
To watch the season the burgundy and gold had.
And it was great, you know, and the fact of how it evolved, you know, from the start, you know, it was a little rocky, sluggish getting started, but man, when they got going and then that fevered pitch started rising toward, you know, mid season and people started to say, hey, this team's pretty good. And by the way, you know, that signal caller back there is
special.
You know, it's special. I mean, I would say the best I've seen as a rookie, you know, for sure. And coming out of the Cincinnati game, you know, I'm always a little – I didn't get to see him play a ton in college. Saw him play some.
Right.
But not enough where I'm watching film and trying to line him up against other people. And I saw Doug Williams in the summer, and I said, hey, what do you think about your draft pick? And he said, I'm telling you, we got the best player in the draft. And I, without hesitation, and normally, you know, yeah. We're all going to say that, but there's generally going to be a little bit of a qualifier on the
sure,
back end.
Yeah,
but you never know how this goes. You know, there was none of that hesitation, and I went, okay. And by the Cincinnati game, when he hit Terry in the end zone, and just the way he managed that entire play, yeah. not just the game, but that particular play, and I went, you got me.
Knows he's about to get smoked,
yes,
too.
As
yes.
a veteran player, though, when you see the guy who comes in, that young guy who does everything right.
Right.
You know, he immediately gets invited. Like, I would tell people when I came, I'd be working in Raven, like, hey, man, you come hang out with us. And then the next day, Kelvin Brown, like, man, come ride with me. And I was like, they're like, why do they keep inviting you? I said, I don't know, but I'm going.
I'm going, right? I'm not turning
I'm not
it down.
Out with y'all, so, right. But that's how Jaden has been. And I think also, quickly he found out. I mean, they found out this dude's about football. He's a leader.
Yes.
And he made the coaches even more comfortable.
And his work habits,
yeah.
you know, clearly are. And you can watch just his progression in the passing game, in my opinion. The guy does his homework.
I mean,
he's not stepping out there figuring it out on the fly. I mean, he comes out of there. They've done a great job with the staff, from the staff, in my opinion, with
sure.
him. But he's done the work,
absolutely.
And he's the one that is doing it. No one is. No coaches are playing any minutes.
Right.
He's playing the minutes.
It's funny you say the progression. So I made a point of going to the Chiefs availability this morning because I wanted to ask Mahomes about Jaden, and that's what Mahomes said. He's like, you know, I watched all the tape against the Eagles, he's like, clearly the kid's talented. He can make every throw. He can do all of that. But what really stands out is how much progress he made over the course of the year. And I feel like you saying that, and I've heard B say that. In my experience in locker rooms, what guys value the most are the guys they know are putting the work and the time in. And that's why I say with Jaden.
Trust.
Yeah.
It builds trust.
And it builds like a discipline. If he's doing it, I got to do it.
Absolutely.
Totally.
And particularly when it comes from a rookie.
Right.
When you know, then it becomes clear that you're not going to be outworked by a rookie, or you can't be, or it's not going to end well for you long term or sometimes short term. And yeah, you just see his mechanically, the kid is such a good mechanical football player. I mean, his release, his feet, all of that, and now you see the progression in terms of reading, blitz pickups, all of that is just, you know, his progression reading in the passing game is in his ball placement all year long.
Yeah,
I mean,
good,
the guy's
man.
Ball placement is is really, I mean, there was nothing to fix there when he came in.
Totally.
And you guys were talking about it in camp. I could hear, I was listening to radio all the time. I didn't see any of the kids, and I kept hearing, like, okay, these guys are just, they're on a little bit of a bandwagon. I get it, you know, right. I get all this. And then, you know, then I saw it. I saw what you were seeing, you know, what Bram Weinstein, who I talked to, you know, what he was seeing every day. And
what stood out, it's funny, like, looking back on it, right? There were multiple times where you're like, okay, this dude's for real.
Yeah.
And he was really impressive at camp and OTAs and stuff, but we all went down to Miami for a couple of joint practices against the Dolphins,
yeah.
And he torched them. And the way the Dolphins players were talking about him after, they're like, whoa, like, what was that?
Right.
And I'm like, all right, it's training camp, nobody's game plan and blah, blah, blah. And then the Cincy moment, and then the way it just kept going throughout the season. I'm curious for you, as a former defensive back, what do you do when a quarterback can run like that and it just – kind of takes you out of playing any man, you know, like
you lose a lot of sleep. That's what you do. You don't sleep well before a game. And yeah, it's just something that you really have to depend on your guys up front. You know, you still have got the passing game. You know, if you're a man, I mean, you can't get away from playing man. You still have to try to blitz a guy like that, and hopefully you've got, you know, a spy in there that is spying on a guy like that. And yeah, I'd prefer to, you know, reduce the number of midfield design quarterback runs. You know, I'm like, like this is, as B. Mitch knows, it is a tough league.
Oh yeah.
And go down if you're the quarterback. You know, let's don't take any one of those kind of shots.
Sure.
But yeah, you know, and it's not the first. I mean, we played against guys like, you know, Steve Young, who would be amazing in this today's game. Randall, amazing runner. You know, he could throw a ball, you know, out of the stadium off the wrong foot, you know, off his left foot. And that's nothing. But you see more of it today, obviously, from a 60-40 run pass league to now a 60-40 pass run league,
right.
If not more.
What's crazy is you're down here working Radio Row in your capacity as CEO of the NFL Alumni Organization. And you sit down with us, and we just talk about the Redskins. You know what I mean?
And I love them all. You know, it's like one thing I have learned is I got to be a little bit agnostic.
Sure. You played for multiple teams, too, but only one ring with one team, right?
Yeah. But if you hang around that league long enough, you will more than likely have multiple employers.
You play more than one.
I mean, hell, both of you, I think, played for three teams.
Right?
Then you played for three?
In the same division.
I played for three. Right?
I never left the division.
And why would they let you do it? Yeah. It was like
–
it's like Shaquan.
It's
like, you know, not only the East, but – the NFC, make that guy go to
go elsewhere.
But yeah, I mean, I just have such an amazing job to see all these guys, and Jaden's going to be one of ours. All the guys out there, you know, they're going to Bobby Wagner. They're all going to be one of our alumni.
Yeah.
You know, when they leave, Brian. You know, it's amazing to
help
see
people
guys
understand
that you're a fan of.
What the alumni organization does.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because
you
guys are doing a lot of work that maybe fans don't realize how important it is.
Absolutely. And we kind of live in that space right between the league on one side and the Players Association on the other. We're a nonprofit. I mean, we're two things. We're a membership organization where players come in and they get a membership, and we're formed around 37-38 chapters around the country, all under the NFL Alumni Shield. Been around since 1967, the oldest, most well-recognized alumni association in pro sports in this country.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we have a whole 501c3, which is really the primary part of what we do, caring for former players, so helping players who are in need or filling in gaps of care for them, helping point them to, you know, as Brian knows, we have a very complicated complex system of benefits, and it's helping players find where you go for this or where you go for that.
Sadly, especially for older guys, there's probably a lot of care needed,
absolutely.
Before everything, a lot of modernization.
There is. Yeah. They'll call, you know, they'll call us for whatever. And we have – and it is sad because we do offer a virtual doctor on demand, a lab core benefit, and a highly discounted RX plan, that there are some players that use that as their direct primary care program.
Well, and one thing you said, and it's funny, Ryan Kerrigan obviously played probably at 280 or something, all muscle, huge. Yeah. Kerrigan,
probably like about 205.
I bet he's lost 65 pounds. I think a lot of guys now know
the right direction.
You got to lose that weight. You got to lose the bulk, even if it's muscle. And you're trying to help alums and just people know to manage the weight.
That's right. And so one of the things, and then we caring for kids and caring for community and how we do all of that is we have partners that help us on cause initiatives. Like when we're just kicking off now on three weight health hike, and that is really centered around the healthy relationship between weight or lack of, you know, moving away from obesity, healthy habits, general wellness, heart health, those kind of things that we're just kicking off that campaign. And we bring in former players who are really beacons of trust and inspiration back to their communities. And we design these ambassador programs and campaign programs around these initiatives to spread that awareness out to the general public and to former players. That drives revenue back in for us.
Sure.
82 cents on the dollar, which for a membership organization
is tremendous.
Really, really strong. Goes 82 cents on the dollar goes right back to a mission-oriented service.
That's impressive. Program.
Yeah, so we're really lean, and we try to put our money where our mouth is. And we have great partners, you know, Novo Nordisk and the CDC and many, many others that are, you know, help us do this and drive that money so that we can send that back to players, back to kids. We raise a little over, on average, $1 million a year for third-party charities, and that impacts tens of thousands of kids and communities.
Tell them all, pick up, get a bicycle and start riding the bike. Low impact.
Absolutely.
Low
absolutely.
Impact.
And it's exercise and it's nutrition and healthy habits.
Yeah.
You know, I generally live by, I don't have the scientific data right on my hands to back that up, but it's, I always say, no matter what you do, and I'm a huge runner, you know, I've tried to hit the 30-mile a week mark every week.
Well, I try to hit the three.
Hey, I saw you. I saw you. But it's hard to out-exercise your diet.
Yeah.
No matter what level. And you may say, like, when
Brad said that to me as I was eating chicken wings.
Right. And those things are good. I know why people eat them.
As long as it takes us to walk here, we're walking
That's
off.
True. Last one from me, and we appreciate you making time for us. Everybody check out NFLalumni.org. Do you wear your Super Bowl ring so you can get into parties like B. Mitch does?
No, B. Mitch, he hangs one around his neck.
You know, Coach Gibbs taught me back in the day. He said, hey, wear your ring and you get on a plane, you do like this. If they have a seat up front, they might invite you.
Yeah.
It happened.
The only thing that worked for me is it got me out of a speeding ticket one time. I got a brand new car, went a mile down the road. Guy pulls me over, and he comes over and he looks at my, you know, I'd just gotten him. Like, two months after we got this ring, and he looks over and he goes, what's that on your finger? And I said, oh, should you ask? So he goes, stay right here. And he comes back with a pad and he goes, now be thankful. Give me your autograph and be thankful you're not getting mine. That's the only time.
That's an awesome line.
Right?
That's
awesome.
A great move.
Brad, thank you for making time for us.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you.
All right, Brad. All right, nobody go anywhere. We're live, Media Row.